Everyone, it's David Hyatt here, and this is the Do One Thing Well podcast. This is a really interesting one, and this is all about a story of how a bunch of maths professors created a cult brand because that's what they did. And so, this one's all about the power of word of mouth, especially when your product is so much better than anyone else's. So, the Do One Thing Well podcast is a weekly podcast, and think about this as a research tool. If you're interested in brands, businesses, or individuals who have done one thing incredibly well, what I'm trying to do here is to find out what their secret sauce is so we can go and apply it to our businesses and our brands and our lives. So that's it. It's, we try and keep it to, I try and keep it to 20 minutes. And so it's short, condensed, and hopefully useful. So trying to find that secret sauce, and we're picking products and services or people who've just done something really incredibly amazing, and they've caught our eye and they've got our attention, and we've uttered those words, "I wish I'd done that." So this one is a Japanese chalk company that now operate in Korea. That's a backstory. It's called Hagamoro, and they make chalk, and they've been making chalk in 82 years in Japan. And so there's a backstory here. It closes down in 2014. We're going to get to that. And they make an incredible chalk. I mean, they make one of the best chalks in the world. So the structure for these podcasts is always the same. We're going to look at the key takeaways first because that's how we do it. We're going to look at the turning points. We're going to look at the strategies. We're going to see what actually drives them and what continues to drive them and how they got their message out. Was it through social media, through word of mouth? How do they get the word out? So the key takeaways for me on lessons from Hagamoro Chalk was the product was special. It was the best chalk in the world, and no one knows why. Why? Because they've got three, secret ingredients. So, one of the key takeaways for me is like make a better product. Want to stand out in this busy world? Make something that's better. Find a better way. Be better at something than anyone else. And this story is really all about word of mouth, because actually, when you see their social media channels, they got 371 followers on Instagram, and that's their highest social media platform. This has always been a learning in these sessions, these research projects. Like the customers became fans, and in fact, in this one, the customer is now running, one of the biggest fans is now running the company. And even though this was an uber niche world of chalk, it was a giant in this uber niche, and I thought that was super interesting. So I learned a lot from this, and but the key learning was like make a better product. And the conclusion in these podcasts and research projects is always the same: is the secret sauce is never just one thing. It's many, many, many things that are combined all into one company for it to stand out on a global scale. So the quick backstory is it started out as Neon Chalk Seizosho in 1932. And so often when we're doing these research projects is the companies tend to start out with different names, and then something, a turning point happens, and then they become something else. And that's been a pattern. That's what I've been noticing. So the factory was destroyed in August of 1944 in World War II, and then it was rebuilt in 1947. And it's at that point where it changes its name, and the first time the world hears of Hagamoro, and so that branding name then goes out there into the world. And in a way, the company that we know now, started then. There's kind of like seven ingredients, of which we probably know four of them: calcium carbonate, clay, glue, and of course oyster shells, of course, and three others, and which remain secret. So there's no patent. This knowledge is known only to the people who run the company. And so, and actually, you know, the people who love this chalk say, you know, and they're like chalk connoisseurs, it's like wine connoisseurs. It's denser than other chalk. It's difficult to break. It produces very little dust. It writes more smoothly than anything else. And it erases more cleanly than any other chalk in existence. So whatever those three secret ingredients are, it makes that company, that chalk, better than anything else out there. And this is contributed to its cult status. The product is actually better. So this is where the story starts to sort of decline in a way, because the peak chalk was in 90 million pieces, and at that point it had 30% of the chalk market. But the truth is, it was in a declining market, and it was in a declining market because the rise and rise of digital media, the rise and rise of whiteboards, and even the most old school professors were switching from chalkboard to whiteboard. So it was in a declining market, and maybe one of the big key takeaways for you should be going: are you in a declining market or a growing market? Because you kind of know which one's going to be more fruitful. So that's, and it's the Rolls Royce of chalk, but it was the Rolls Royce of chalk in a market that was declining. And so this was the end of the line in terms of the Japanese company. There's another part to this story, but this is where this bit actually comes to an end. In the end of production in Japan was March 31st, 2015. And so Mr. Watanabe had three daughters. They were all in really good careers. He had a declining, business, because people were switching from chalk to other forms, and he also got news that he had cancer. So this is why he made the decision to voluntarily close the company and stop production. And this is, an interesting bit where then, he'd made that decision. And one of his biggest fans, biggest customers, over in Korea, Mr. Shin, got in touch with him and said, hey, we can't let this thing, stop. And, and it was literally, the best quality item in the world must not stop production, is his pitch to him. And really, actually, this is a love story. And because, a customer became a fan, and the fan became the owner. And actually, Takazu Watanabe was really reluctant to sell the company, or even give the company to Mr. Shin, because he had no production experience. He had no factory experience. He was literally a teacher who was helping students cram for exams. And he came across the chalk because he was teaching his students. And what he found out, this chalk was much easier to write with, but also because they came in different colors, the people in the back of the class could see much better, and so they retained that information much better. So he'd become this super fan, and so that was the start of the end of the Japanese side of the business. And it was interesting, because then when people got wind of the fact that it was closing production, that's where they were inundated with orders. They received floods of faxes and nonstop telephone orders from all the professors all around the world. These math geeks had fallen in love with this product. And then they suddenly had news that actually they weren't going to be able to get it anymore. So they became this huge pent up, supply was going to go to zero and the demand was going up. So I think that was really interesting, where, he really didn't want to stop the company, but he didn't have a way to go forward. And he saw, this thing, a declining market, declining health, no one really to hand it on to. And there was this, sort of PhD geek from Korea who had no experience. So he was there going, oh my gosh, what is going to happen? The interesting part of the story also is like Mr. Watanabe had no idea how much the word of mouth had got out there. He had no idea at all. And, he literally had no clue that, other people in the world knew about his company. And that was kind of interesting. People loved his company and he didn't know. And actually what happened was, these professors started making YouTube videos about this chalk and how much it was better than anything else. And actually this one, The Great Big Story, had almost 24 million views. And they were literally telling the story about how it glided like a Rolls Royce. They were saying they were literally waxing lyrical about this thing. They were writing papers on this chalk. Satvan Devadas wrote a paper and he called it the Michael Jordan of chalk. And other professors were making videos, writing blogs. The New York Times started, did a piece on it. CNN did it. Forbes did a piece on it. So it literally was literally this chalk company who had no PR company, had no social media presence, was literally being talked about all across the world. And it became a cult brand. And it became a cult brand by these influencers called professors who are absolutely, were professors of maths mostly, which aren't the most influential people in the world, apart from they change the world through their equations. So that was interesting. And I think Mr. Shin had persuaded Mr. Watanabe at that point to, give him the company. And he'd had all his savings. He invested all that money into his company, all in the name of chalk. And so he'd taken 16 containers full of machines from Japan to Korea, and it was it was incredible. And at the same time as they're moving from Japan to Korea, there's this massive chalk scarcity. And professors all around the world started bulk buying. But they weren't just bulk buying. They were literally buying a decade's worth. And actually, professor who found out, who bought all this stuff, other professors within their university were going, hey, is it possible for me to buy a box? And so these professors who had 10 years worth of chalk were literally selling boxes to other professors. And it became this massive, massive thing. And so, Shin had, Mr. Shin had persuaded Mr. Watanabe to, in essence, allow him to go and take his company and move it to Korea. And he had 16 containers full of equipment. He'd spent all his savings on this. Bear in mind, he was like a, Mr. Shin had dreams of becoming an architect. He didn't set out to be an entrepreneur. He didn't set out to run a factory. He didn't set out to go and be in the chalk business. But he'd fallen in love with this product. And he'd said to him, I literally can't bear the thought of this thing not existing, not when you're the best in the world. And he found something very deep in him that he thought it was a duty to keep this thing going. And so, they moved the business from, Japan and Korea, 16 shipping containers of machine from Japan to Korea. He invested his savings and he had to go and learn how to go and run a factory. And this is a beautiful picture. This is Mr. Watanabe in Korea, checking all the machines. And so he arrived in a wheelchair and he was This really is a love story. And he's handing this beautiful company that, you know, who makes this beautiful product over to somebody who is a super fan. And this is his parting gift. And so he's gone over in his wheelchair to make sure that all the machines work. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story, actually. And this is Mr. Watanabe with everybody, with Mr. Shin and all the fellow makers over in Korea. And this is his, handing over period. Because it is, passing the baton to the next person to make sure that this product stays in the world, because it's the best in class, literally the best in class, no pun intended. And this is Mr. Shin. He loved the red chalk because, getting red chalk at the time was pretty hard, but he fell in love because he had multiple color chalks. It allowed his students to see at the back of class. And he became, from customer to fan to owner. And it is a small company, and, they make the best chalk in the world. And, it's almost like, you see, these massive, mixer bowls of chalk, just like it's almost like making bread. And it was incredible. And it's a small business, but it's a small giant, because it has this worldwide reputation that most people, have to go and advertise to get that reputation. And guess what? Other people have told their stories on their behalf. And this is a quote from Max Lieblich. Compared to caviar, it is cheap. So it's $11 for a case of these chalks. And this professor is waxing lyrical about this, saying, I mean, they are super fans, because this product is so much better than what they had to put up with. And those three secret ingredients, whatever they are, they make all the world a difference. And this is, they make on a relatively small scale. There's much of it is run by, two laborers. I think they're twins, identical twins. And this is like, this is an old school maker with a global reputation. It's an incredible story. So they're beautiful, and I love factories, and just seeing things get made is a beautiful thing. And every time I look at that chalk and I see that Hagamoro stamp on it, I just think, wow, it's the Rolls Royce of chalk. The mad thing is, look at, this is the social media stuff. I mean, it's literally 391 followers on Instagram. 391, and almost none on all the others. But the interesting thing, they don't have a YouTube channel, but some of the videos about Hagamaro have gone on to be 25 million views. So that is how they have garnered worldwide reputation. Other people telling their story on their behalf. That's the thing. If you make a better product than anyone else, your super fans are going to tell your story. And maybe that's the key learning here. So it turns out, like, there are many things always in conclusion, to doing one thing well. It's making a better product, being consistent, like also handing it over to the next generation of makers. Your fan becomes a super fan that becomes like, the owner. And because Mr. Shin, it is a beautiful love story, in as much as he couldn't bear for this thing not to be around anymore. And you think, wow, how many times can we actually say that about a product? We just say, that company's closed, who cares? And obviously he does care. So it's a really beautiful story, I think. I really enjoyed learning about it. And Graham Fink told me about this company, and that's why I started researching, and I'm glad I did. So, okay, I'll see you in the next Do One Thing Well podcast. And I'm not sure what it's going to be on, but I know it's going to be interesting. So you take care now, and thanks for your time.